That is Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop, and that is Florence Brummer joining us once again, one of our favorite, well, at this point, our only regular, and we're joining us for top five female horror movie characters. Florence, was this your idea?
Yes.
It was my idea.
She's a decider this week, Brian.
We are went all over, over the place. I went over Turn all, her down.
Brian, that's not any way to treat our guests.
I'm treating
What's the matter
you
with
that
you?
Way.
What's the matter with you?
I'm your boss.
You're going to be my boss, finally, for one half of one day this Friday, and you couldn't
it's
be more
what
pleased.
A glorious day it will be.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm in charge of the way you look and the way you sound and all that.
Oh,
so
no.
be a good boss, all right?
Next week, top five good bosses.
No. Let's talk Florence. We just had a very nice conversation before the mics heated up, before we began the program here. Florence joins us all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. If you would like... if you would like a very good lawyer, you should talk to her assistant, not her directly, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Family law. That is what you specialize
Family,
in.
Civil litigation, business transactions, appeals, and estate planning.
Oh, the whole thing.
Estate planning, not estate sailing. So I don't have anything to talk to you about at this point.
No estate sales.
No estate sailing. All right. And yes, if you would like to see, Florence and I are sharing a camera.
Hi,
and then
everybody.
Look
how cozy you are.
Sorry, Dan, there is a bag on the counter behind Florence. I do apologize about that. Dan, stop fucking with your stuff. Is this how it's going to go when I shoot your little documentary on Friday?
I have thoughts. I'll have some creative input.
I am very excited about today's list, and I didn't know how it was going to go. And also, I was a little bit basic on a few of my picks because I know you're gonna bring in some. I don't want to put you on the spot here, Florence, but I would imagine you're going to bring some to us that would not have occurred to me. Of course not, Brian.
I hope so. I hope I have some surprises. It ended up being really hard. My also-rans are a lot.
Yeah,
because
robust.
Once I got into it, it just kept going and going.
It's fun, isn't it?
It was a really fun list.
Here was a pleasant, or a very fun list. And the pleasant surprise for me, not being big into horror films, was my first thought, I'm thinking all damsels in distress, you know, the typical scream queens and all that. Then I thought more and more about it, of course, as one does with these lists. And I think I come up with a solid five that are just not the one note, you know, scream queen, damsel in distresses.
Yeah, I actually labeled which mine were per my list. And
as did I.
Where is my list? Oh,
no, no.
This could be problematic. Literally. Oh, there it is. I got villains. I got a creep. Just straight up creep. I got a psycho. I got a badass. And I got a sympathetic villain / victim. I got a little touch of everything in there. Bye-bye.
Let's catch Florence up on what we were just talking about in the previous episode. Florence, have you seen Piggy?
No, I haven't.
Not important. Moving on. Have you seen Terrifier?
No, it
really?
Seemed yucky to me, so I didn't want to see it.
Okay. Yucky. Anderson dove in and he loved it.
Yeah, I love the first one. Now I hear the second one pulls out all the stops and gives us way more of what the first one brought us, plus a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's interesting though, because like we were talking about how you might be the nicest person we've ever met. You're just such a sweet, nice, kind person.
Mild mannered,
incredibly intelligent. Like you're so many positive things, yet you got this dark side, obviously. Quite obviously, you have this very, very dark side.
Enjoying horror movies doesn't make you dark.
Dark, very dark. And you love the idea of people being butchered. And I wanted to explore that
a little bit.
This
is an interesting claim.
Well, okay. you know what I have heard about myself, which I didn't realize? People have told me that I can be scary. And I never thought that.
Because you're smart and successful.
That I can just sort of turn on you.
Oh, my.
Well, I can see that.
And
I can see that.
Give us a heads up that it happens with us.
My son-in-law said that, said to my daughter, he goes, your mom is kind of scary. She's really nice. So you know if she gets mad at you, it's going to be scary.
Okay. See, I'm the exact opposite because I'm always a little bit pissed. Yeah. I don't think Florence has ever felt that because there's nothing to ever be upset with Florence. But like everyone, I'm just always a little bit like, you know, poking and a little angry, you know, so that no one will ever be like super scared. That's my plan.
That's good. It works for you. Florence, what's the... See? Works.
Yes.
What's the angriest you've gotten to say recently? Oh, not like today, but like in the last, I don't know, 6 months.
Last 6 months.
And don't make it job related. Like I was really mad at this judge's decision or something.
All right. So my grandson flooded my house. He turned.
It was bad.
He turned on the faucet in his bathroom, mm-hmm. and it ran through the bedroom into the garage.
He's four, right?
The wet
he
bandit.
He's three.
Three. Oh,
no. And so I was really mad at his parents.
Okay, his parents, not him.
No,
did he
not
know
him,
what he
never.
Was doing? Was
no, he didn't know what he was doing. Yes, yes. He did not know what he was doing. He was so proud and happy. So it was a little heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And
proud and happy.
Yes, proud and happy. And luckily, my husband was able to talk me from the ledge because I was just, I was like in a black mood.
Oh,
it was black. And
hardwood floors?
He's, no, but it went through the ceiling. No. So like the drywall.
I didn't know how that
out.
Happened because we had discussed that. You and I discussed that a little bit. You were talking to me about something I was dealing with and you let me know like something you did. And I didn't know it was from your kid trying, I mean, your grandson trying to recreate it essentially. I feel like the parent should have blamed it all on you and said, well, if he didn't see it because of you, he wouldn't have been trying to save Georgie and with the little boat, right?
I said to them, to my daughter and my son-in-law, I said, I have no one to blame but myself because I should have been watching
That's true. That's true.
You were the babysitter on duty?
No, I was not. It was my snarky remark to them about should have been
That's
watching
good.
Him.
I like that. It's good.
So yeah, that's why I've been told I'm a little scary.
You're also just so nice, I think, off the bat that when you do realize that someone's a piece of shit, maybe you're like, okay, I'm not going to like have time for this person anymore. This is not a good example of what you said because it's family and like, you know, that happens with the family.
Yeah.
But I could see you just being like, okay, this person's not worth my time anymore. And people are like, oh, but she was so nice at first. You know what I mean? Usually I'm mean at first too.
It's true.
To bring it back to me again that, over here, bro.
Narcissistic.
Yeah. Brian, yeah.
How often, Florence, don't get back to me. How often do you... Now, obviously, you, how do I phrase this? You're probably biased towards your clients a little bit, but how often do you encounter someone in say, a separation or some sort of legal proceedings where you're like, that person, be that a client or someone you're litigating against, like, that person's a bad person. That person's, like, a really piece of shit.
You know,
or
enough,
can you usually enough. See both sides?
Yeah, I've been really lucky, I think, that a lot of times I feel I'm really on the right side of it. So I think I've find the right people who come to me and they're a good match. And, you know, sometimes someone will come to me and they'll say, oh, I want a super aggressive attorney. And I said, well, listen, I'm aggressive, but I'm not going to be aggressive just to be an asshole. Right. Like that doesn't get you anywhere. That doesn't serve your purpose.
Laura Dern in Marriage Story will tell you something different.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not her. I'm probably a little bit more of Alan Alda in Marriage Story, but maybe a little bit of a better memory. Not so much anymore.
Okay.
Back to the butchering and why you enjoy it so much. I mean, I feel like we didn't get an answer there. Like what draws you to the horror? Is it because, I don't know, what is it?
I think it's because I want something that's fake that scares me because there's so much real stuff to be scared about.
Okay, interesting.
And so it's sort of an escape in a strange way.
I had a friend who's a neighbor who worked criminal defense and she just dealt with like the worst of the worst, just horrific, awful.
And she ate her hair. Story.
And she did not eat her hair. But she had no time.
That was an off mic discussion.
It was, and it doesn't bring anything to the program. Well done, Brian. Instincts kicking in again. But she again, I would recommend her husband movies, and he'd be like, "Well, I can never watch that with the wife because she wants to watch nothing but fluffy ponies and you know rainbows, and she can't watch anything dark." So, but it's interesting, you know. Everyone goes. That said, you like seeing fake things that are somewhat scary. What about you? Like a little humor in your horror?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know you and I talked about it and I know you weren't a fan of it, but I really liked Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. I thought
like Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. It wasn't good enough for me to like it.
I was delighted by that movie. I just thought it was so much fun. I thought it was like sort of a version of Scream, and fun, and the ending delighted me. I just really, really liked that movie.
I wanted to love the ending, and it was good. I'm sure it was great on paper. It just didn't really have that.
Still have not seen
it. You haven't seen it, so I can't talk about you not seeing that because I haven't seen Amsterdam. And guess what? Amsterdam is leaving theaters. I'm not going to see Amsterdam.
Appropriately,
I'm sitting in my house.
Appropriately so.
And I'm going to be pausing it at 22 minutes probably.
Florence, that's what I always do.
No, I didn't.
Not
after I heard you talk about it.
You're not missing much.
All right.
That's right. I talked about a solo. That's right. Well, enjoy my solo dissertation on Black Adam this week.
Yes.
I will. I'm excited.
Everything we just discussed. So I do think that you would like Terrifier, the first one. Okay. Can't speak for the second one, but I'm a champion for this Terrifier movie. A champion for it. I tell
you. All right. I'll watch it when I'm not eating something.
I mean, you like Jigsaw and the Saw over there, right?
Oh yeah,
you
I do. Love the Saw. I do. I do love Saw movies.
I mean, this guy, he's like the new slasher in town. Is that what you call him? Like Voorhees and Mike Myers, you call them slashers? Like, what are they?
Yeah, those are slashers. I guess Jigsaw is too.
And we were talking about like the Mount Rushmore. Brian astutely pointed out there's only four people on Mount Rushmore. Okay, but we were just talking about the heavy hitters.
The Pantheon.
The Pantheon, mm-hmm. Yes. And I think we got them all. Jigsaw was the most recent until Art the Clown, I think, from Terrifier. I like to think that he is here to stay. I shouldn't be speaking so lovely about this movie before having seen the atrocities that are the second one.
That's true.
Or the third one.
Anderson defined it poorly, and I said, well, it's got to be Norman Bates. Like, no, Brian, no one's dressing up as Norman Bates.
I didn't define it poorly. I was just naming.
You didn't define it at all.
I was naming who the slasher Hall of Fame is.
Do you know a dictionary doesn't actually define words? It just explains how they're used.
So if people use the word incorrectly, that would mean that there is no incorrect use, right?
I guess it has to catch on to a certain tipping point. Mm-hmm. The classic example now is literally.
Yes.
Literally will have their definition in the dictionary, but will also explain that some people use it to wrong. Not mean literal.
Poorly.
To mean figuratively.
Yeah. People literally use it wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well put.
But now it's literally right.
Now it's literally right. That's it. Get your coming and going.
See, a dictionary should be definitive. The definition should define, be definitive. All right. This is not an English lecture hall. Let's move on to our lists. How do we go here? How do we do this?
5-1 is how we usually do it.
Who begins there, Brad?
Oh, I say.
Very excited.
Well, Florence, you're our guest. Would you like to go last, first, and middle?
Can I go in the middle?
Yeah, of course.
Florence sandwich. Is the definition. She is the cider this week. That's why she's sitting here with us. But here's a dirty little secret.
Oh, shit, you paid for this?
Even if she was not an official decider, we would be more than happy to have Florence on. Friend of the program.
I don't know about that.
Part of the program. She is our Miss Movies 3.0. We also miss Diana Vandenkamp. She will come back from Ireland one day. And join us again. But until then, Florence is our...
I don't know if I want to open this can of worms. And at any point, I may just want to put the lid on this and move along. I don't like you calling Florence Miss Movies 3.0.
No, you don't dig it?
I don't like it.
All right.
Miss Movies was the persona adopted by one Brianne Chandler years ago.
That is a good point. It's not like we defined...
No, she was Miss Movies. Mm-hmm. Her show hit her Miss Movies.
Yeah.
Or her website first, and then I guess podcast. Yeah. And
you
then
came Diana, up with Red Light, Green Light, which...
Diana was... we brought her on specifically to do Red Light, Green Light.
Yeah.
And then Diana was the femme fatale.
When she was Miss Movies 2.0.
Again, I don't like.
I'm just not picking up anything.
It's
you're
not
putting
James
down.
Bond. We're not moving it down the line.
No, she's Miss Movie.
Brianne and
Diana
are the OGs of it, uh-huh. And so I'm just happy to be mentioned in the same breath with them.
Oh.
But you could. My Twitter handle is Florence Legally Brunette,
that's right.
Which is like a little bit of law and a little bit of movie, and a nickname that I've called myself and I sign cards with is Floyance.
Floyance.
So you could call me either if you don't want me to be a Miss Movies.
I normally reject out of hand any nickname given to oneself, but since you paid to be here, I'll go for it.
Miss Movies 3.0.
No, don't do that.
Now I can't not. All right.
I'm your boss.
Let's get into this, Brian. You want to start or should I just go? Because I'm going with a pretty on the nose, pretty easy.
Same.
I'd imagine it's going to be on perhaps all of our lists. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Well, I go first.
Going with Carrie White, Brian.
Good one.
From Carrie. Played by Sissy Spacek. Right. Of course, 1976. Carrie. Written by Stephen King over there. And Carrie, she starts off as definitely a victim. She is bullied mercilessly by not only her peers, but her horrible mother, who shares what many villains in Stephen King novels and stories do, which is a fanatical love of the old religion over there. The mom actually perhaps belongs on the list. If we're doing strictly female horror villains, mom, Margaret White would definitely be on this list. I was reading this in my research this week. Her mom, who was very, very Piper religious, Laura, right? And would like force her into the closet to pray or something. And she was very upset when she started to develop breasts, and she called them dirty little pillows. What the fuck? Stephen King, where do you come up with that? Where do you come up with the dirty little pillows? Do you hear that somewhere? Or you make that up? That's pretty good. And she, of course, with the they're all going to laugh at you. But it's Carrie White who's on my list because she's interesting because she goes from victim to sympathetic villain to just to straight up, you know, she's making things happen that are very, very horrific and bloody. I've not seen the remake. Have you?
I have.
Mm-hmm. Was Chloe, that Chloe Grace?
Chloe Grace. She was too pretty, and not that Sissy Spacek is ugly or anything.
No, but she's awkward.
She's actually very cute, but
it's like Chloe the pretty Grace, girls. Who
it was like very, very pretty, and so was too pretty for the part.
Roberts. It's Julia Roberts.
No. Who played her mom? Julianne Moore played her mom the remake, and was pretty good in it. Was pretty good. It was all right, I would say. Nothing compared to the original.
Inheriting that iconic of a role.
I hate when they cast the pretty girl. And we see it all the time where the pretty girl is being made fun of for not being pretty. It's like, do they think we don't see? Like, we see. But at least in like Monster, they uglied up the pretty girl. That's right? True. In Monster,
I think they might have put like a little grease on Chloe Grace's part of her hair. Like that was it.
I've never put two and two together. I never saw the film, but that's the second time Julianne Moore has inherited an iconic role. First time being in Hannibal, Clarice.
Oh, right. That's of course. Correct.
Yes.
And not done a great job.
You still haven't seen Safe, have you?
No. Should I?
I think you should. Okay. But, yeah, there's a lot of things you should do.
I was going to say, I'm drowning in movies I should see.
I know. It's frustrating. I feel the same way.
No, I'm not frustrated.
So I can't
at all.
Imagine how you
feel. I'm liberated.
Are you?
It's hard. There's so many
movies
liberated to see.
By not seeing
by
movies.
By not seeing, not having the burden of these films on my conscience.
Mm-hmm. Brian, what's... oh, no, it's Florence.
You want to hear my number five?
Yes, please.
It's Janet Leigh as Marion Crane in Psycho. Okay. To me, she's the first Scream Queen and has one of the most iconic scenes in movie history. I saw this movie when I was little and I swore that the blood ran red in the drain. And she's only in a short time, but she's really the most memorable thing about the movie. And one thing I really loved about this movie was about the first 15 minutes are filled in Phoenix.
That's
and
right.
One thing I discovered, when I was doing some research was that I thought that the building that they showed was the Westward Ho, but it really was the Herd building. And I had a second office there for about 8 years. So that was like a super fun thing to find out when
kind of
I
thing.
Was doing this.
Nice.
You didn't know that until you were doing the research this week?
No.
That is a super fun thing.
Yes,
do.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I will.
So she's my number five.
That's a great one. I'll give you another bit of trivia. Janet Leigh up here, you know, I love to do actor redundancies. The actor has the same thing in two unrelated movies. Janet, especially weird because for the time this was unusual. Janet Leigh appears in her bra at a hotel in two movies, Touch of Evil and Psycho.
Oh,
which
wow.
was very unusual for the time. Mm-hmm. It was controversial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What?
Touch of Evil's first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hitchcock biting. Orson.
That's right.
Yeah. I Touch of Evil.
We know who the master is.
Touch of Evil's pretty goddamn good.
Definitely I saw a type that Alfred Hitchcock had.
What's that?
Definitely a type Alfred Hitchcock
you
had.
Think? Yeah.
I will say that three of mine, 1, 2, 3, are inspired by Stephen King. Stephen King responsible for three of my top five.
Wow, Brian, that means Rob Reiner's getting a mention.
Safe.
Sorry. I apologize for that outburst. Brian, what's your
and five? Like I mentioned, I tried to avoid the one note Scream Queen. Mm. By the way, I would. Your point is salient, and I know what you mean with like slasher films specifically. I'd say Faye Ray and King Kong was like the trope, or at least the early iteration, you know, the godmother of like Scream Queens.
Yes, and always with the breaking or the rolling of the ankle, right? Like no woman could run back then.
Well, they're in heels.
They would always, she wasn't, but she tripped and fell all over herself.
Should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Number five for me. This is the only time I'm going to do this. But I have to acknowledge that the sardonic sidekick trope perfectly encapsulated by the character Tatum Riley, played by Rose McGowan in Scream. Awesome. Off the board. I love that one. She's great. 1996's Scream. She's the, like I said, the sardonic sidekick, the wisecracking, you know, taking no nonsense to Neve Campbell's sort of innocent main character. Also, not ashamed to admit, and again, this is the only time I got.
No.
Helps make a young, balding Brian into a man.
Brian, we have company. Brian, I feel like the mortified wife with a drunken husband who's embarrassing me in front of the company.
In her final scene, Tatum enters the garage to retrieve beer for her friends. And
are you giving something away at the end?
I'm giving away her popping nipples. And it was uncomfortable.
What? I don't need to hear about her dirty little pillows, Brian.
Oh, they weren't little.
All right.
I'll leave
she
it at that.
Says one of my favorite lines in a movie that I say quite a bit. It's when Neve Campbell punched Courtney Cox. And so Rose McGowan is kind of reliving it later. And she says, "Bitch went down." Like, I say that all the time.
I totally forgot about that. Rose. She was great in that movie. That made her a star.
It did.
It was like her fifth movie or something.
Rose directed a short film starring our friend Tara Lynn Barr.
No kidding.
And it was very dark.
Oh, why?
And yeah, if you like dark things and you like Tara Lynn Barr and you like Rose McGowan, check it out. I can't remember the name of it.
Did you say Gross McGowan?
Rose McGowan is what I said, because right? That's her name. All right. This is a movie that's a little bit also off the my number four, moving on to my number four. It's a little off the beaten path, but if you listen closely, you've heard me talk about The Loved Ones before. This is an Australian film. I feel like it's criminally overlooked. It's a fantastic head fuck of a movie. And it, the character is Princess or Lola. She goes by both. Her dad calls her Princess. I believe she's known as Lola at school. She wants to go to prom with the cool kid. The popular kid, he turns her down, and her dad makes sure that she's going to get her wish and have her own prom party, and she's going to be the prom queen, and her date is going to be the prom king, and they have him over in a pit, and there is a drill involved, and there is hot water involved, and there is a lobotomy involved, and it's all done in a very intense way, yet funny because it's so over the top as well, and I just absolutely love this, The Loved Ones, and the sound...
Flo, are you familiar with this?
I'm not. I'm writing it down.
The sound that you hear in The Loved Ones of the said drill, which is, you know, that's what you hang your hat on with this movie. That's what you remember most. And you see the after, I mean, you see it all and you get to see her live out her fantasy. And it's also tragic. And I don't know if it's a thing that's unique to Australian horror films, but I've never seen Wolf Creek and I've avoided it because I've heard that the filmmakers really make you care for the characters before they get butchered.
Oh no, I don't want that.
Same case here with The Loved Ones. Like, we get the kid's backstory and how, like, he lost a parent in a car accident that may or may not have been his fault, and, like, you know, he's trying to get by, and, like, we love this kid, we want good things for this kid, and then he gets completely victimized by this lunatic Lola and her father. But The Loved Ones is a very good movie, one that will stick with you forever, and she is fantastic in it, as you might imagine.
That sounds good. You know, this will sound very opposite of somebody who loves horror movies. Whenever the people get killed, I am actually very sad. And so I'm...
Everyone?
Yeah, well, I guess most people, like in Cabin in the Woods when Jules gets killed. That makes me so sad.
I don't remember who Jules is, but I remember...
She's the blonde from the beginning, yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
So, I mean, the trope at the end, explain it.
Chris Hemsworth's girlfriend, like, that makes me sad. Like, so many of these movies make me sad, you know, that these young people getting killed, and then I keep watching them. So I don't know. I have no explanation.
Can I tell you, Sigourney Weaver from the movie almost made my list. Almost made my list.
Yeah.
Of horror film characters.
Oh, from Cabin in the Woods.
That's right.
Oh, that's a really good
She's
one.
Great.
Yeah. I love that one.
Too short, too small.
What's your number four?
Number four is Rachel Keller, played by Naomi Watts in The Ring The Ring 2. Mm-hmm. And the lot of the movie in The Ring...
You think of something?
I just thought of one, yeah, sorry.
...is her being a reporter and doing research.
That's right.
And she makes it very compelling and interesting.
It's a procedural.
Yes, exactly. And so there's so little of Samara, but she's really the one that carries the movie. And I watch that movie kind of over and over again. That's one that I'll put on when my girls and I are just sitting around. We'll sit,
you know, just
we'll
for
sit
laughs,
and watch The
Ring. Yeah, giggles.
just for fun. So Rachel Keller from The Ring.
Naomi Watts is so good.
She is.
She's just good in everything she's in.
I'm about to say something very stupid right now, but where's she been?
She just was in The Watcher on Netflix. I'm actually watching that.
Is that a series?
Is it good?
Yeah, it's
I
a
love
series.
The cast.
Yeah, it's not how it is sold on Netflix. It's about a six-parter, but it's very compelling and interesting. It looks like it's more horror, but I'd call it more of like a psychological thriller.
Have you seen White Lotus?
I did.
Is it similar to White Lotus at all?
Similar... no, you know what? Similar in a way, but probably more with like a little bit more scary elements.
Bobby Cannavale. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah. I love him too.
He's in The Watcher.
Yeah.
He was my favorite character in Boardwalk Empire. He kills someone and he's completely nude, like full frontal.
I tapped
covered
out
in
after
blood.
He tapped out. I kind of stopped watching.
Yeah.
That
and it is just the most original killing scene you have ever seen.
Blue Valentine. Great in Blue Valentine, too. Oh, Bobby Cannavale. Love that guy.
He rocks.
He's great in Tom Collins.
No, he's not good at all.
What was the Collins? Danny Collins.
Danny Collins. Right. Criminally overlooked, Brian.
Patter.
Such good patter in that movie. I love that movie. No one talks about that Danny Collins. All right. Here we go.
Number four for me. My first Stephen King film character, I should say. Well, film and character. I'm going with the secondary antagonist from The Mist, Mrs. Carmody.
Yeah, she's the worst.
Played by Marcia Gay Harden. She is the worst. 2007's The Mist. She is, I believe she probably made a pop-up on our top five religious fanatics.
She's a religious zealot.
That's right, zealot. And everyone knows The Mist, right?
Yes.
The town is besieged by aliens, creatures, who knows what they are, killing machines. And they find themselves, all the entire community, the survivors, trapped inside of a grocery store. And once you know, Mrs. Carmody is making things worse.
By offering
a human sacrifice to the monsters.
I put that movie on a couple of weeks ago to go to sleep to. Not a good choice for that.
No, not at all. No, it's
I thought it would be a little relaxing. It really wasn't.
It's sad. I've long maintained, I enjoy that movie. I like that movie a lot. I like a lot of things about it. Most things about it. The effects, like the actual creatures, while obscured by mist most of the time, once you get a good look at them, it's very clear the budget was, and I think I found this out in research later on, the budget was like reduced at a certain point and they didn't have the money to make it look really good.
No, yeah, yeah. I've talked about that quite a bit because I find it really, really interesting. And that was the fact that DeBont, what's his name?
I'm drawing Frank Darabont.
Frank Darabont. He came up with the ending, which was the bleak ending, which we won't give away here. It's not even in the book.
No,
it's not.
Darabont, Stephen King.
Yeah, it was a short story, and it's not the ending.
And Stephen King is on record saying, if I thought of that ending, I would have written it that way. It's a perfect ending. Mm-hmm. The studios didn't see it that way. They said, we're not giving you this budget with that ending. We're going to cut the budget in half, thinking that he would back off and be like, okay.
Call the bluff.
And he's like, all right, fine. I guess we'll make the movie for half the budget and I'm going to keep that ending. And it's the perfect ending. Like, I love that movie. I would not love it as much without that that fucked up, crazy ending. It's great.
It's a gut punch, for sure.
It's a great gut punch, exactly.
Mm-hmm. If you had nuts, it'd feel like you got kicked in them.
Why you got to be so
crass? I would have felt like that.
We have a lovely lady here. It's rare, Brian. It's rare that
it's not. We have a lovely lady here every single week. Wait, my wife comes in and her yoga pants are on display.
How's my daughter doing?
That's really hurtful on a number of levels.
What'd you say before the show started?
I forget. But it was really me.
Oh, you said you said Tessa's dad's a genius. I said, no, I'm not. You were very upset.
I think my response was along the lines of, that's very hurtful on a number of levels.
On a level, yeah. You did your, that's your go-to. All right, number three for me. This is an easy one, and I'd be surprised if it's not on your list too, Brian. And it's the casting. It's some of the best casting I've ever seen, and that's when they had Millie Shapiro play Charlie in Hereditary.
Great. Not on my list, but fantastic.
She
is, I had to leave some off.
Some of the best, gutsiest casting I've ever seen, and she's just... She's standing in a movie that stands out for a bunch of reasons. Charlie is the character that I think of and will always think of when I think of Hereditary. I think of her when I think of Midsommar, which I shouldn't. It's just Ari Aster did them both.
When Avery's not here, I sometimes glance at the listener top five just in case it doesn't make it. I want to have an idea of what people are talking about. And someone, I forget where it was, but someone commented, someone said Millie from the movie. And someone replied, head not there, Brian.
I mean, now you just gave something away, Brian, right? But I've been careful with telephone poles. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, she just hit that note so perfectly. And I looked her up. She hasn't been in much. She's been in a couple shorts. And but she's just very such a very specific actress.
Yes,
and
very specific.
Born to play that role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the role of a lifetime for her, I'd say. Yes. Unfortunately, she can't reprise it. Or maybe she can.
Prequel.
Who knows?
No, that wouldn't work, actually.
No, because she gets older.
Much older now.
She gets older, Brian. Same. But you never know. And it is supernatural, right?
It is. There's always room for interpretation.
You can come up with anything. I can't say too much, but there's a argument to be made by me that none of that actually happened. Millie's perfectly safe.
Yeah, that's
safe
your that's your little. It's all about the little miniatures. Mm-hmm. And, I'm a genius.
Tess's right. Daddy.
Do you want to hear my number three?
Please.
More than anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Nancy Thompson, played by Heather Langenkamp in Nightmare on Elm Street 1, 3, and Wes Craven's New Nightmare, and host of one of my all-time favorite documentaries, Never Sleep Again, which is about the Nightmare on Elm Street series. It's so good. And she's a final girl, but she's not anonymous like a Friday the 13th final girl. And choosing her was hard for me because I love Tina so much in Nightmare on Elm Street.
I'm shocked Tina's not on your list.
I know. It was like, I can rank my children easier than it was to rank this
next
list.
Next episode.
they know their ranks. Okay,
good. What is Final Girl?
Like the one
who's left.
Yeah, left living. Okay. To face down the enemy.
Hmm.
The villain.
Hmm.
The antagonist.
Does there always have to be one?
No, there doesn't have
but
to
be. But they're often Cabin in the Woods.
There is. Yes.
Final Girl. Yeah, see, yeah. I don't know the rules of horror films all that well.
This is more of a trope.
Yeah. Horror films love their tropes, right?
They're built on tropes.
Tropes are, the rules, it's just a product of people copying each other, right?
Essentially.
And then they're celebrated. So that's why Black Adam is being celebrated, probably.
Sure, celebrated.
Mm-hmm. A lot of horror movies are derivative, and sometimes it's good, and most of the times it's really bad. Like, I just saw Smile a couple weeks ago, and I don't think either of you guys saw it. I loved this movie so much. Mm-hmm. It was very similar to
Smile
It Follows.
Was good.
It made my spine tingle, which I always try to get. And I really, really liked this movie. It was 2 hours and it went by in a flash.
I was so turned off by the audience reaction with the trailer every time I'd have to sit through it. And everyone was just like, oh my God, it's so weird. Look at them smiling. What is that? Oh my God.
My window's open.
Oh, don't listen to fools. Go see it.
So
like it.
A lot of mugging. A lot of mugging for the camera.
We talk about once in a while is Spine Tingler. Have you seen that one?
No.
About William Castle.
Documentary.
Do you know William Castle is? Well, you do know who he is because he made a lot of classic horror movies. Mm-hmm. He was a contemporary of Hitchcock, and he was looked at as the schlocky Hitchcock.
Like
he
basically, the poor man's.
He did. He's the guy who had like the nurses outside of the theater because, you know, in case someone has a heart attack.
Oh, right.
He was gimmicky. He was all about the gimmicks. There was a seat built with a vibration inside. They called the spine tingler. This is what made me think of it. You would like that documentary. It's a lot of looking back on old horror film tropes and things that we just know today that were new at the time.
All right, I'll look that up.
He was an innovator.
The Terrifier should be first, though. I can see you writing these things down. If you need me to help you rank them, I can.
So Nancy was my number three.
Nice. Hold on, wait. I'm going to do my number three, but I'll look up Spine Tingler.
Oh, Jesus. As soon as you said Spine Tingler, I knew that Brian was going to go right back to that.
I like that movie.
I know you do. I think you had me watch it.
I may have. Mm-hmm. It's a canopy. It's a canopy.
Part of canon, right?
Canopy.
But it's no. But wasn't he part of the canon? And that's a different documentary.
That's a different documentary.
With
equally. I actually think it's a little better. But
why is your computer talking?
Oh, Siri.
Please don't have it do that.
Talk to me, Siri.
Well, your Siri is a.
Get out of here.
Your Siri is a British dude. Wait, what?
Siri started talking to me.
Yeah, but that was a British dude's voice.
I can make him talk again.
I prefer not. All right, so what's your number three?
Number three for me is my second Stephen King inspired character.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say inspired. He wrote the character originally.
Mm-hmm. It's more.
I wanted so badly to go with Mrs. Kirsch from It Chapter 2, the old lady who
She is good.
The tea. She's fantastic. Oh, way too small of a character.
I feel like that whole scene was written for the trailer.
That was the best scene of the movie by far.
It was.
That said, I'm going to go with Beverly Marsh. played by Sophia Lillis in It, Chapter 1, from 2017.
She's very good.
She's fantastic and a complicated character. A lot going on. Thankfully, they abandoned, jettisoned, if you will, the novel's gangbang subplot mm-hmm. for the movie. I don't think that would have appealed mm-hmm. to a lot of people.
That was during Stephen King's self-admitted very a cocaine phase, right? Indeed. When he wrote all this insanity.
But Beverly, of course, is the female member of the losers. She's kind of their de facto leader, I think, in the movie. She's older than the rest of the kids.
I don't know if she
more
is.
More mature, at least.
More mature okay. and the crush of all the boys.
Yes, they all love her.
Mm-hmm. She's got a real Molly Ringwald vibe to her. Mm-hmm. I just saw Molly Ringwald. She's in...
at the mall?
No, that would be a perfect place to see Molly Ringwald. Right. I've seen her once in person. That was at the Corolla Studios. But no, she was just... she was in the Dahmer series. She showed up in Dahmer.
As herself?
No,
right,
it'd
be weird.
It'd be very weird if she was herself. And no, she plays someone's parent, I think. All right.
I haven't started watching that. I lived in the Midwest when
it all went Dahmer. Down.
Yeah,
he was Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it was such a huge story, of course. And I just am not up for seeing these poor little gay guys get killed. So I have not started watching Dahmer.
It's tough. It's a tough watch. All right. Let's take a quick little break here, Brad, right?
Are we doing Amazon?
Aren't we? Shouldn't we?
Fine with me.
Do you want to, or do you want to just double up next week?
I already have. I mean, we can double. It doesn't matter to me.
Let's do it. Let's do a little Amazon.
I've already done all the work.
Okay.
For you and me.
Let's go.
I was just 9 years old when I learned how to sing blues.
Florence, I don't know if you've bothered listening to the Amazon. Do you bother listening to the Amazon?
I do. You said something that I bought for my husband last week.
Really?
The Voodoo King hat.
That we spent a lot of time. Yes. Yeah.
I was trying so hard to describe what it was because I'm like, you know what this thing is. If you see it, you're like, yes, I know what that is. But describing it is difficult. It's the top hat with the skull and crossbones.
And it was the skeleton shirt, too. So he's going to be a voodoo king.
Nice.
And I'm going to be a New Orleans witch.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you guys are still in the market for a Halloween costume, use that 2-day shipping and get it in time for Halloween. Things purchased.
Oh, but I'm not ready. Button hooked.
Come on.
You're button hooked.
I really didn't. I give you the big point.
No, usually you talk about a few things.
That's exactly what we just did.
Yeah, but you spend a little more time a lot of the time. A lot of time you're like, wait, what am I going to start off with?
A pretty standard amount of time.
Well, I'm waiting for my program to open. It's just not opening, Brian. Okay, you can do it without the music.
I really can't.
You're profesh.
I'm not.
You're a profesh. All right, it's over.
That was one of your compliments to me, because I'm a polished broadcaster.
That was on our... Hey, we haven't... It hasn't aired yet. That's airing like in a couple days. Stop it.
Is it really?
Yeah. Look at how excited you are.
How interesting. Florence, the next Patreon episode is going to be Anderson showering me with compliments.
Oh, I'm going to love that.
It's a very short
episode. And then I hit him with a left hook on the number one. He didn't see it coming.
It's literally a very short episode. Literally.
Son of a bitch.
I'm using that properly. Oh, my God.
My window's open.
You can do this with music.
Yes, I can.
Without music, you can. It's still not opening for me. I'm sorry.
What's happening?
I haven't produced in a while, and I...
Show us.
Thanks, but... all right, you know
Is
what?
Is this how it's going to be on Friday?
Oh, just like this, yeah.
Oh, God. I've hired Anderson.
Today. Oh, Christ.
For a job.
Can't wait to hear this story once it happens.
It'll be most of the next film vault.
Probably will be. All right. I think I'm finally ready here. And
please tell me Carano's showing up early.
No.
On Friday. Oh, thanks, brother. Someone got two Brother Printer drum units, new Microsoft Surface headphones, too. Lenovo ThinkPad laptop was purchased, as was Lectron Tesla charging adapter, EDOU, direct pressure washer. I kind of secretly want a pressure washer.
Yow.
That was a hit.
What?
I kind of secretly want a pressure washer.
Who are you hinting that to?
Whoever's listening.
Okay. Great, Brian. Thanks.
Le Creuset Classic Cast Iron Skillet.
Mm.
I don't want that because we have a cast iron.
Who needs that?
Hook. H-U-K. Hook. Hook.
Hook.
Hook. Hook. Men's Icon X jacket. Keen men's Highland leather sneaker. Scepter 24-inch LED monitor was picked up. Someone got themselves kidney COP. That stands for calcium oxalate. protector. That's a breaks up kidney stones, apparently. Nintendo Neon.
You can do that at home?
Or with a pill?
If Tom Hanks only knew.
Awesome. Oh, that's right. Green Mile. Well put.
Stephen King. Seeping right into this episode.
Nintendo Neon Purple Orange Joy-Con. Heavy duty metal twin bed frame. Pure Encapsulations. O-N-E. That spells one, but it's abbreviated. Multivitamin. It's abbreviated. I'm just doing the acronym. Optimum nutrition micronized creatine capsules. Apple Magic Mouse. I wonder what's magic about it. 8 Nylabone Healthy Edibles Wild Bison Flavor Dog Treats. Sanyon Bluetooth bookshelf speakers. 2 Ring Chimes were picked up. Smart. Got to put those around your house. Asics Gel Venture 7 shoes, JBL Endurance Race Sport earbuds, Toto Transitional Soft Close Toilet Seat and Lid, Nioxin System 1 Scalp Therapy Conditioner. I wonder if that works. Boveda 69% two-way humidity control. And finally, someone got the comfy original, as seen on Shark Tank, oversized microfiber Sherpa wearable blanket.
Nailed it. Nailed I always it. Want to
Thank
say that.
You. I really appreciate that. That's really nice to have some support in the studio.
You knew it this Brian. Here are the movies that are kicked through this last time I talked at you.
A lot of movies.
Yeah, the
of
House movies. Of the Devil is kicked through, as well as M. Folk of the Years with you. Brazil was clicked through. I didn't understand that when I watched it as a 14-year-old boy, 13 perhaps, and maybe I should go back and re-examine. To Be or Not to Be was clicked through, as well as Buffalo 66, Rimwood, Road of the Dead, Kinichide, Forbidden Subject. I feel like there's some typos there. Or Rush Hour Trilogy.
Copy and paste, bro.
Rush Hour Trilogy. Despicable Me 2. Despicable Me 3. Underground was clicked through as well. Scarlet Diva. Annihilation. Folk of the Earth. Police Story. Police Story 2. Pan's Labby. Pan's Labby. Folk of the Earth with that. Ralph Breaks the Internet. Brian, thanks for clicking through. Fists Please in the Pocket. Kundun. Kundun. I have not seen Kundun all the way through. Let me tell you that. I can tell you the secret.
It's one of the five Scorsese films I've seen.
That's not the one. That's not true at all, man. You have not seen. You can watch it as a Marvel version when they redo it. Kubrick 3, the film collection, Shining, 2001, Full Metal Jacket. I feel like there's a couple missing in there. The Invisible Man was cut through, as well as The Invisible Life of Pets. Jumanji, Fight of the Yes, 1995. Jumanji Next Level, Fight of the Yes. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I sign off on that trilogy. Fantastic. Do the Right Things. Click through, as well as The Ape Woman, Rear Window, Heat, Blowout, Exotica, The Godfather, Limited Edition Steelbook, The Godfather Part 2, Limited Edition Steelbook. That's the one where they're going to make him Superman, I think, with the steel. Mario Puzo's The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. Now, thanks for telling us about how that happens. Limited Edition Steelbook. Bullet Train was clicked through, as well as Lost Highway. Got to reset the GD music. Emily the Criminal. Fuck the Yes. Hope you enjoyed it. Very good, well-made movie. Frenzy. The Fearless Vampire Killers. Adam's Family Values. Zodiac was clicked through, as well as Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Dream Warriors. Joyride. Easy Rider. Demons. Christine. Piggy was clicked through, as well as Bros. Funny Pages, The Score, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That is the original, the OG. Somebody going back.
Look at that.
Now they got to move on to this. Bill and Ted Go to Hell.
Can you slow down? I'm trying to watch Kundun.
Kundun. It's a tough watch. I can tell you that. That I can tell you, Brian. That I can, because I watch part of it. I just can't fix my eyes on it for the entire 2.5 hour festivities.
It's
the length.
It's only my signing to you.
It's too much. And back to the program.
Would you believe Kundun, a relatively modern movie, 1998, directed by, I'd say, a director of note, not available to stream? Would you believe that?
It's not available to stream. Yeah, it's weird. There's some that are like that. Wild at Heart, I was saying, but apparently Wild at Heart now is mysteriously available. I don't know how it goes.
It's weird. Like, you'd imagine every movie, whether or not there's a streaming deal to be had, would at least be available to rent on Amazon.
I know. Amazon does this new thing, too, where they list a movie twice. They'll show it for rent, and then they'll show it for Prime and say title unavailable. So I guess that it's like in the program, in the coding, like if it's ever been Prime available.
Yeah, movies come and go.
Yeah, so but they don't remove it from the feed. So you'll see like the streaming version that's no longer available, and it'll say title unavailable.
Don't like.
No, I don't like it.
I've been trying to find this horror anthology. I think it's called Campfire Tales from like the 90s. And the guy who played Glenn Quinn, the guy who played Becky's husband in Roseanne, okay, was in it. And, you know, he passed away a long time ago. And the preview, like forever ago, after he was on the show Angel.
Oh,
they wrote him off and then he died.
Oh, Jesus.
And
so he became an actual angel.
Yeah.
Good rumor.
And it was not available. The trailer was on YouTube and the movie was nowhere. You would have had to buy the DVD.
And it's so strange when that happens. And it's all,
it is.
It's all because of lawyers, I think. I think that's the main reason why.
Sorry.
That's right.
All right. Here.
Campfire Tales is available to purchase on DVD or VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Whatever suits your watching habits.
With my numero duo. Ihi Sheena is the actress playing.
What are these words you're making?
Asami Yamazaki is the woman, Brian, in Audition, Brian. Have either one of you guys seen Audition yet?
I've seen
no,
Audition.
You've told Takashi, me about Maike's. It.
I don't think it might be too much for you.
Yeah. I think you said it was a yucky one.
Pretty yucks. Mm-hmm. Pretty yucks, but also some really good earned jump scares. And the story is this.
Is this about an audition?
It's about an audition, yes. It's about a widower. He's sad. He lost his wife, and he wants to get back out there in the gene pool. Mm-hmm. And the dating pool. And his friend, who is a movie producer, says, oh, it's great. All you do is you just like put an ad out and say you're casting a particular, any kind of woman you're looking for. That's your type. That's who you're casting for a role in a movie, and they come to you, and you get to just have them read lines, and that's how you can. And they also love you because they think you're a movie producer.
Lawrence, I'm no lawyer, but I'm going to say that sounds like fraud to me.
It is.
So, I mean, there's some shady stuff there, but you still care about this guy, and you feel for him as he's being tortured by a woman who feels like she's
like
not
hard
getting the attention. She doesn't know at first. She's just, he comes across someone who's not mentally well, and she does horrific things to him. And there's a burlap sack involved. There's needles involved. There's torture involved. It's hard to watch. Takashi Maike is a prolific filmmaker, to say the least. I think he was doing 9 features a year at one point. I've seen a few of them. He's made like hundreds of movies. This one stands out for sure. And Audition, it's not for the faint of heart, 1999, and it's my only psycho on the list. And Asami Yamazaki, an Audition.
Okay. Love it.
It's one of those movies that's just like, it's infamous. And once you see it, you can't forget her. You can't forget the movie. Infamous.
I kept seeing it on Shudder, and I was avoiding it. Maybe one day I'll go back to
it's
it.
It's a tough watch. It's a tough. It's the kind of movie you'd want to watch with somebody else and be like, you know, like, can we get through this together? Mm-hmm. What's happening right now? Why is that moving? Why is that happening? Like, it's, you shouldn't be watching it by yourself.
Okay.
All right. Number two for me is Margaret White. Piper Laurie is Carrie's mom and Carrie.
I'm sorry.
So thanks for stealing my thunder. Sorry.
It's a great pick though, right?
It is.
It's not my pick either.
She's terrifying. She's super horny and repressed. And she's crazy religious and has the best lines of the movie. As Anderson said previously.
Scarier than Carrie.
Any other
She's
lines?
She's so much scarier than Carrie. And in the end, how she ends up and how that relates back to something else in the movie is just great. Like, so great.
I have not seen this movie in too long. Now, are you going? Yeah, you're going with the original one. And are there any other lines that I, not to put you on the spot, but I missed other than the dirty pillows and they're all going to laugh at you, which is infamous. And I mean,
I can't think of other ones right now,
but she's good. She is very,
she's
very good.
Really,
I watched
good.
Some clips too. And I'm like, if I was doing straight up villains, she would have been top the list, top the list, Brian.
She's awesome. She needs, some sort of, hot oil in her hair. She's got like the craziest, frizziest hair you've ever seen too.
I
she's just
that.
The best. Her homemade clothes. Like it's all wonderful. It's all great.
Back when they actually cared about making movies, you know what I mean?
My number two is Margaret
Before
White.
They were making Black Adam, you know?
Margaret White played by Julianne Moore.
No, you're not doing that.
No, I'm not doing that. Number two, though, is the acceptable. Aforementioned it's Carrie White, played by Sissy Spacek from Carrie. You nailed it, Anderson. She's a complicated character. She's both the protagonist and ultimately the the antagonist of the movie.
Yeah, she's both. She can be both. Even though, if you're really looking at it, though, like Margaret's the real antagonist here.
Well, plus the bullies too. I mean, there's any number of levels of an antagonist.
But I think, you know, he was probably writing. You know, he's a very very clever guy, and what he was going after is like, this is what happens with childhood trauma from a
the bullied becomes the bullier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously that too, but also.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's all. Yeah. That's all. Okay. All right.
There's no other unhinged. No more layers.
Okay. All right. That's it. Okay. Good. I'm glad you stepped me straight there. Can I get to my number
Less
one?
Less you think there's more to it.
My number one shocked me. It shocked me, Brian. It shocked me, Florence. I was not prepared for this. I had no idea that Crystal from The Hunt was going to be my number
That's
one.
That's a great choice.
I absolutely love Betty this Gibbons, character. Right? Betty Gilpin. I love Betty Gilpin as an actress. I'm so sad to see the Glow has shut down and will not be coming back. Betty Gilpin mainly is in television programs, so I don't get my fill of Betty Gilpin, but I love this actress. I love this character.
Is this a horror movie?
It's a horror film because it is... That's one of the genres that it is considered. I mean, it opens up with humans being hunted. It's the old tropey, okay. You know, the ultimate game.
I'll allow it for this. And it's about
these elitist left wing hunters who
they,
want
they
to
enjoy
hunt,
the finer things.
Who want to hunt the redneck hilljacks, and what Betty Gilpin's character Crystal brings to the story, to the film is so multi layered and so. Adept at winning the hearts of, I think, all partisans in the audience. Like, it doesn't matter what your politics are. You're going to like Betty Gilpin by the time everything's said and done.
Oh, it's for sure.
So satisfying.
Before we were assigned this topic, two weeks ago, or it was, I was looking up Betty Gilpin's scene at the beginning. You fucked up, bitch.
You done fucked up.
Just because it was so fun.
Yeah. She's so good. If you have not seen Glow, she is just so good in Glow. She's just a really, really likable actress, which I wish that I saw more of. I really
she
do.
She was a Nurse Betty and was great in that, too.
The movie, the TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the movie. I'm like, that was a long time
ago. Nurse Betty's a deep pool. That's a good movie. Neil Jordan film. I really, really like that.
Neil Jordan's
Rock.
Irish.
Old Chris Rock over there, and you got the
Morgan Freeman.
You got the Renee Zellweger over there. A very good movie.
I didn't even know that movie. You know what?
You
I think I'm
that?
Calling. Am I? Maybe I'm calling the
nurse,
show.
Good nurse.
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie. Oh, thank you.
Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Betty.
I have too many
movie.
Things in my but head right now. Yes.
Today.
I'm conflating them.
2022, October 22, 2022. If you told me that there was like a full three season series on Nurse Betty, it would not. Surprise me at all because there's just so much out there.
I know. You can make something up and be right about it.
Ah, so much. Too much. All right.
Do you want to hear my number one?
And I would love to hear your number one.
Jennifer Check, played by Megan Fox in Jennifer's Body.
Wow.
Not seen.
Oh, no. You guys got to see this. I think I've been asking you over and over again to see this. She's beautiful. She's scary. Mm-hmm. She's a mean high school bitch. Mm. She's infinitely quotable. And so I brought a quote and I'll do it because I don't know how to do the clips. But there's this band and they're trying to find a virgin and they're talking about it. And Amanda Seyfried is her best friend in the movie and goes up to Megan Fox and says, they're only talking to you because they think you're a virgin. And Megan Fox says, yeah, right. I'm not even a backdoor virgin anymore, thanks to Roman. By the way, that hurts. I couldn't even go to Flags the next day. I had to stay home and sit on a bag of frozen peas. And she has tons of lines like this. Like, see this movie. It's so funny.
What are Flags?
It's so good.
Anderson?
Like, cheer.
That's my takeaway.
This could be good or bad. Written by? Diablo Cody.
I knew that.
Don't let that get to you.
Yeah.
No. I did like Juno, actually, and I liked Young Adults, too.
Yeah, nothing wrong with Juno.
But Jennifer's Body is her number one movie. Like, you have to see this movie. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say with Megan Fox. She has so many fillets.
Even when Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried talk about their favorite movies that they've been in, they always talk about Jennifer's Body.
Okay. Oh, streaming on Prime and strangely Paramount. Okay.
Now you have to see it.
No, I got no excuse.
Diablo. El Diablo.
La Diabla.
El Diablo. That's from Seinfeld. when Putty dresses up.
Don't mess with us, man. We're the devils.
The New Jersey devil paints his face. Oh, the priest is walking across the street and sees, oh, El Diablo. Maybe he's in a...
No, he's in a cab.
He's in a cab.
Yeah, because the cab almost hits. Dude, this was... This was, your families must have just random quotes that you bandy about from God knows what. This was one of ours that we used to bandy about. La, el diablo, because he almost gets hit by a cat. He's like, don't mess with us, buddy. We're the devils. The devils. And the Italian priest or whoever he is terrified. Speaks no English, but a giant man dressed up, painted as the devil.
It freaks him out. He's that simple.
Diablo Cody has a small cameo in Jennifer's Body as a bartender.
Okay.
And Chris Pratt.
Did she get to play Flags the next day? Or
I don't think she goes to Flags the next day. I think she was sitting on a bag of peas too. Chris Pratt has a 5-minute part in this movie. It was before he was big.
All right. He was big before he was big.
You know, Chris Pratt.
It's a weight loss joke.
I think it's a good one. Chris Pratt, if he saw Putty dressed as the devil, he may also freak out.
That's right. It's very religious.
El Diablo. Okay.
El Diablo.
Chris Pratt.
Find that clip. Number one for me is already mentioned.
Jennifer's Body. Of course she comes in with one that we've never seen. Of course. Oh.
How could this be your number five? Marion Crane from Psycho. This is the greatest of all time. This is the one that everyone knows.
She never sat on a bag of peas, Brepper.
She never know that. Yeah, she was in her bra in the hotel room. God knows what else she was up to.
Such a prude. Oh my, she's in a bra.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of it, like academia written about Psycho. I could get into it, but you know, she turns the damsel in distress on its head in an interesting way because she, you know, she's the damsel in distress, but she also steals the money and she's on the lam and blah blah blah. It's a whole inversion.
What are we gambling?
Exactly. I really liked that about Psycho as well.
It's a great
because
character.
She's not pristine.
She's not helpless.
She's in a hotel in a time when you couldn't or shouldn't have been in a hotel when you were not married to the man. So there was that. And
let alone
taking
the briefcase
the
money. Full of
money. Right, exactly. And she gets killed and it has nothing to do with that money. And then, you know.
Yep. A MacGuffin as Hitchcock's
exactly. A little like villains.
What's that about?
A little like villains. I never realized that. I mean, it's right there.
That's right.
But yeah, they're trying to get away. They stop at the wrong spot, and they meet.
You seen Villains?
I don't think so.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah, last week. It's got the old Bill Skarsgård in there.
He's good
doing comedic acting. It's fun.
Really?
Yeah. Donovan was fantastic. The guy who I like from Sicario.
Yes. From Burn Notice. Yes.
Bill Skarsgård was just in Barbarian, and I wish there would have been a lot more of him in it.
I need to see that Barbarian, and I'm getting all the emails because how many people have sent me emails saying you got to see this at Barbarian, and Anderson, don't sleep on Barbarian. So I mentioned that, and now I'm getting an equal amount of emails saying don't waste your time on Barbarian. It's not that big a deal.
It is not that big a deal. It went in a way that I wasn't super happy about. Mm. I thought it could have went in another way that would have made it a lot more fun. But Bill Skarsgård was great in it, and Justin Long was great in it, who we haven't seen in a long time.
I love that Justin
so
Long.
So I really liked it. I liked those two guys a lot.
Fair enough.
All right, I don't know what we gambled on last week.
Do we have a list?
I don't remember what we did.
Do we have a Joe
Wolf? I don't think we have. No, you're going to go. I did not see anything from Jordan Wolf. Hey, look, you know,
he probably didn't know we were recording today.
He probably did not know.
It's a day early.
Everything's a little bit all over the place, and I'm not good at producing the show anymore. And I forgot that I was kind of producing the show this week, so apologies.
Although you know, with Florence here, we did have a robust.
Oh, it's a great episode. That's another thing. I knew that we'd have a great episode, despite the fact that I don't have the other little bells and whistles that you.
Did you have also rans? Because I had ones that I could do.
I think you have a bunch of also rans.
I do.
Right?
Please.
Drew Barrymore is Casey Becker in Scream.
That's the picture I used for the
not familiar
for the Facebook post.
Betty White as Dolores Bickerman in Lake Placid.
Oh yeah, I guess it is a horror movie.
This one I had to take out of my top five because I was at six. But Pearl in X and Pearl, played by Mia Goth.
She is great,
even though it's brand new.
A little too fresh.
She is fantastic. Up there for me. Betty / Diane in Mulholland Drive, played by Naomi Watts. I know that's not really horror, but she actually scares the fuck out of me, even when she's Betty. Rose the Hat, played by Rebecca Ferguson in Dr. Sleep. Mad and Helen from Death Becomes Her, Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn. Mary Shaw in Dead Silence, Amanda Young in Saw 1 through 6 in 3D, Nicole Kidman in The Others, and Kiki Palmer in Nope.
The Others.
Damn.
Good pull with Could've The Others. Could
have left that last one off.
I was talking about The Others just the other day without talking about what the movie was because I didn't want to give anything away, but I was talking about what the movie was, but not naming the movie because it would give everything away. And very good pull there, Florence. I like that. Brian, I can't believe that Annie Wilkes wasn't on your list.
I know. Such She's a really Brian good. Pick. I had to leave some off. There's too many good ones.
There are some good ones. I almost put the female Cenobite on there. She was good. Kind of weird and sexy and creepy that? And a Hellraiser.
Oh, yes.
What else I got there on the, don't act like yes, when you've never seen Hellraiser.
You signed it to me.
That's pretty good, as I should have. That was a good move on my part.
I like how you doubled back and gave yourself credit.
Who else?
That was a good assignment.
This was a great topic, Florence.
That's right. It was.
Reagan,
say it.
Reagan from The Exorcist. I mean, how is she not on anyone's list here? Not even on your also-rans portion.
I have like an also-rans. It could have went on and on.
I have an also-ran.
These man. Ladies. Mm.
I almost put Reagan on there instead of Carrie because they have similar things going on where they're both victims slash villains. She's not herself actually a villain at all. But
this sweet little girl.
She also was probably most like, well, she's still a female horror character, but she was embodied by, I would say, a male horror character.
Yeah.
So it sort of pushed it off.
I was reading
me.
About it just this week, actually, and apparently she was... You don't pick up on this, and I've seen the movie The Exorcist a number of times, but supposed to be multiple demons were inside of her. And the one that we see in the subliminal shot there that I was talking about when I was talking about Terrifier was one of the demons that was supposed to be inside of her. I guess she had a few. And another thing, one last thing about Terrifier is that he definitely embodies something about Marilyn Manson, which is neither a good or a bad thing, but you can definitely see some Marilyn Manson in this little fella, Art the Clown. He's just a little fella. He's just a little fella. He doesn't sneak up on you. He's just there. His introduction,
hiding in
Florence,
sight.
Is these two girls, one of which is drunk, the other one is not. She's very good. They go into like a pizza joint, you know, after a long night, and they're having pizza. And he just comes in and he sits down at the table and just stares at them. And they're like, "Oh fuck, there's a creepy clown guy. What's that guy want?" Like that's it's very different from other, you know, where they're like lurking and
around the corner in the shadows.
None of that shit with Art. Art's just there.
Can I do my also-rans?
Sure, why not?
Mrs. Kirsch, aforementioned. Also Sigourney Weaver, aforementioned. I lean on Alien maybe too much. So
I think you do.
Didn't want to mention Ellen Ripley. Of course, Jodie Foster in Signs of the Lambs. Rosemary's Baby comes up a lot, so left Rosemary off.
Ruth Gordon could have been on.
Angela from Sleepaway Camp. Or is she? Martyrs? Martyrs?
Avery was telling me the other day he hates the ladies so much that if he had to like hang out with one, it would be a transgender lady because at least they used to be a man.
Oh my
that's
God.
What he told me.
I'm I can't like, believe Avery, verbalized
that's so harsh to hear.
The human Poor centipede. Avery.
He heard you were going to be here and he's like, nope. Human centipede, Gina Davis from The Fly. Get Out was on there. Of course, Misery. Tremors, almost one with Reba McEntire. Tony Collette from a number of films.
Oh, she's so hereditary.
Hereditary, of course. And forgotten and nearly made the list. Heather from the Blair Witch Project.
She is a very good snotter.
That's right. Dripping nose.
A lot of snotting. Her and Viola Davis might be the best snotters in film.
Top 5 snotters next week.
I got 2. All right.
We got to gamble.
I don't know. We're not gambling.
You won.
Did I?
Yeah, cool. You went 6. I looked at Mike Cole's list earlier today. You were 61.
Everything.
I was a 63. And fucking, what was Black Adam? Is it 39 or something?
Are you sure? I thought it was reversed.
Well, let me look. Again.
I'm happy. I'm happy I won, and I'm probably pissing people off by even questioning that because that means that.
It'd be funny if I was wrong. Don't start the music. This is going to take a while.
No, we're going. We're getting out of here.
Gambling stats.
We are about to do a bunch of red light, green lights with Florence.
Oh, they'll be coming to you over the next few months.
Very excited. We put them on the bonus episodes for the most part. Sometimes we put them on the regular episode as well, which we might do. But she breaks them into to categories.
Florence, I do.
Yeah.
It wasn't Black Adam. It was Halloween Ends. We gambled on, apparently. And yes, the Yeah. He has you at 61 and me at 63.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. I remember having a sense of dread because the movie had no score. I'm like, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
That movie sucks.
Halloween Ends?
Terrible.
Good to know.
I watched the end.
That's good. You workshop that?
No, I really did watch the end.
You watched the end of Halloween Ends?
I talked about it on the show. I watched like the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Because I was curious as to what the big to-do was. I was curious.
Does Halloween End?
I mean, this movie ends much the same way like the Never Ending Story ended. I mean, everything has an end. All right. I didn't think we were gambling, so I don't have any. Oh, guys.
What was the one you
loved? Have to assign him a movie?
I get to assign him a movie, yeah.
Jennifer's Body.
Assign us a film.
I keep pushing it. It's only 90 minutes.
We should let Florence assign on your behalf.
I'm down with that.
I was joking.
No, at least I could do. Go ahead, Florence. You want to do Jennifer's Body?
Yeah. I want to hear you guys talk about it.
Right, streaming we'll on Prime and Paramount.
Jennifer's
and
goddamn
number
body.
Of other services.
Be warned, Florence. There's a good chance that I'm going to despise this, detest this movie. There's a good
I know,
chance.
And then I'll never talk to you again.
That's.
And I hear all the listeners that get mad at me for not assigning Brian classics and trying to build his film knowledge.
I've seen all the classics.
It hurts me when he comes in here and he's like meh about some of these movies that are near and dear to my heart. So that's one of the reasons why I don't do it. But I get you. It's a good point, and I will start doing that more. Stag, whatever. I got a list somewhere. It's just I don't know where. Okay.
Directed by Karen Kusama. Karen Kusama, director of Destroyer, Girl Fight, and Yellow Jackets, and The Invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of those took your fancy.
I wasn't listening.
It's fucking
the
awesome.
Invitation.
The Invitation, Destroyer, and Girl Fight.
I saw The Invitation, and I was not blown away like everybody else was. My socks were still on.
So you're saying she peaked with a girl? Or a
almost saw Destroyer, but never got there. I don't think I got there with the Destroyer. No. Destroyer is the one with Nicole Kidman, she looks like Monster. I did not see that. No.
Uglied up Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Florence, fantastic having you. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for assigning us what ended up being a fantastic topic, if judging nothing else than by the also-rans. So many. A lot of fun always having you here. Anderson and I have no notes in front of me, so help us out. No listener art?
Oh, I could assign you Ace in the Hole you have not seen, right? Some Like It Hot you have not seen? A Face in the Crowd you have not seen?
These are all stupid.
No, they're
Some
not.
Some Like It Hot? You've never seen Some Like It Hot?
He's never seen, but no, he's going to watch Jennifer's Body or Body. Yeah, instead. Can I make him watch?
No.
Look at that, a woman of principle.
Oh, Face in the Crowd is so good, Brian.
Make Some Like It Hot the next one you win.
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to remember that. Oh, we got to gamble. Turn the goddamn music off.
We're not gambling. What are we going to gamble on? I don't have any movies. The one that I know is I don't have any movies to gamble on, Brian. There's like nothing coming out. There's nothing good coming out. I can tell you that.
Let's gamble on something that's already
out. It's a quiet, quiet weekend because it's Halloween.
Wait, what does that mean?
The show is unraveling.
That Pray to the Devil one? Can you gamble on that one?
That's the only one that's coming out wide this week.
No, I think the Jane movie's coming out as well.
Nope.
About abortion.
Call Jane is coming out, but in limited release.
Limited?
According to Box Office Mojo. Mm-hmm. So you want to do the only one I really know at all is Armageddon Time? You want to do that?
No, I don't know anything about Armageddon Time. I don't know anything about movies, Brian.
We can do...
We're not going to gamble, all right? We're backlogged with the listeners. We're already watching one for a listener. You're watching that. All right, we're going to take a week off, all right? And we're going to gather ourselves and we'll come back. Or we can gamble. I'm a purist.
Florence. Actually, I say we let Florence decide.
Yeah. Why not? She's making us watch goddamn Jennifer's goddamn body.
You're going to love it.
With the peas. Sitting on the. I better laugh at that
you,
scene.
Yes, you will.
Better make me guffaw. All right, here we go. What are we gambling on? Armageddon, what'd you say?
No, it's up to Florence.
Yeah, Florence said
Armageddon
something.
Armageddon Time, Pray for the Devil is the only wide release.
Armageddon Time looks like such a schlog.
I don't think I know the rest of these.
All right, what Florence? Do you have one?
Pray for the Devil.
Pray for the Devil
because it's a bigger release and it's Halloween.
And it's coming out this weekend. I thought it already came out.
Oh, is it?
Don't fucking know what it is. Release the October 28th.
Okay, well that's not hasn't happened yet. All right, Pray for the Devil. Here we go.
Oh, interesting.
This is so good. Holy smokes!
Oh yeah.
So good. Okay.
This is good because this could be a wide distributor. It could be a good horror movie. It could be fucking.
I'm very curious. I don't know.
I'm on Box Office Mojo. Come on. I'm looking at just the.
All right, here we go.
So I didn't even say who the
on five
director is. Right, whatever. Okay. Whatever.
One.
Wait. Don't have a number. Okay.
One.
No, wait, not yet. Okay.
Two, three, four.
53.
I said on five. I said on five.
Did he say on five?
It's not happening. I was going to say 58. I swear to God, I was going to say 58, but I said
on
five. I say
nine. Can I play?
Oh,
I
you're
say
nine. Oh, okay. I am. All right.
53?
I should tell you this is rated PG-13.
No. Pray for that devil. All right, let's get out of here.
We got to know the score.
I'm sure there's not one. If she's saying nine.
I'm sure there's not one.
If Florence is thinking nine.
I need a little more.
That's
commitment.
Based on nothing.
Okay.
I need a little more attention to detail on Friday. Well, there is.
I won't be interviewing. I won't be doing anything other than shooting your dumb ass. So let's go.
I want you to be on the camera that's trained on me. In fact, I want both cameras trained on me.
That'd be such a weird interviewing style. Just two angles of Brian, and then he's talking to a disembodied voice. All right, let's go.
No score.
All right, great.
That's a bad sign.
I said 40, 48.
That said, this can't be right. On IMDb, sitting in a 6.9.
How many, though? It's just probably the filmmakers.
83.
Yeah, it's not.
83 reviews.
All right, let's go.
All right, y'all.
Florence, I have no genuinely, thank you very much for making a fun episode. And it was a really fun, study this week.
It's so nice having someone nice and supportive in the studio.
Aw, oh, thank you.
Appreciate that a lot. I really do appreciate that.
Look at how earnest he's being. I don't like that at all,
Brian. Oh, I'm going to need you to laugh at my jokes a lot.
No, you don't want the producer laughing off screen. It's bad for documentaries, Brian. I don't know if you know that.
Not mine.
Me. All right, let's get out of here. Come on.
I know notes.
All right, good night, everybody. Thanks.
Who are we listening
Octopus
to?
Octopus teacher. Octopus caveman is who you're listening to. Don't have any listener art. I thought that Avery was going to be back this week for like notes and stuff. He landed today. It's a little different. We're a little bit all over the place. It's okay. We make up for it.
It's by a silent protest.
Lovely, lovely Florence in here. And until next time, we do it. Upper Van Gogh.